This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am not Maggie Dawn. I am guest hosting for Maggie Dawn today on the Maggie Dawn Show. My name is Dan Schaefer. Thank you all so much for joining us this afternoon. We're so glad you could be with us across the Civic Media Network. For those of you who might not know me and my work, I am a regular guest here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I am also the founder of the Recombobulation Area, a weekly opinion column and online publication covering news and politics in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. Go check it out. Go subscribe. We got lots of good stuff on there. And today we are thrilled to be joined for the entirety of the show as our guest co-host, Angela Lang, the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Angela, thank you so much for being here.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I'm also excited to like guest co-host with you. Normally it's with Matt. So it's like, this will be fun.
Yeah, we're mixing it up.
Yeah.
We're mixing it up. Absolutely. And you're joining us in studio.
In studio.
Here in Racine.
Yeah.
We're thrilled to have you here. If any of you out there in our listening audience would like to join the conversation, give us a call. Shoot us a text. 855-752-4842 is the number. We're also streaming live on YouTube and Facebook and the platform formerly known as Twitter.com. So send us your tweets, send us your comments. We'll be reacting to those throughout the show as well. Once again, I am your guest co-host today. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm here with Angela Lang, the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. We're thrilled to be here with you today. And once again, just for that number, so you can get in touch with us, give us a call, shoot us a text, 855-752-4842. We've got producer Cardi Glisper on the board here for us. Cardi, how are you doing back there?
I'm pretty good, man. I'm recombobulating from 2024 into 2025.
Yes.
I think we all need to, you know, I really lean into that word a lot.
It fits.
It fits for so many things. And I think, you know, after 2024 was a discombobulating year in so many ways.
I agree.
And we all need a little bit of recombobulation going into 2025 here. So that's what we hope to bring you on the broadcast here today, this afternoon, filling in for Maggie on the Maggie Dawn Show. So, Angela, we just had New Year's, just had the holidays. It was a busy stretch. How'd you spend your time?
I spent my time with friends in a small town with less than 800 people in Illinois, in a cabin, basically. And it was a quiet New Year's. There was also a hot tub in the back, which was nice because it was cold. But it was the first year I didn't hear fireworks or gunshots or something. It was strangely quiet. And I think I was in bed by 1 a.m.
Wow. What, you know, this is New Year's at this stage of our lives.
I'm 35
right?
Yeah. Now, but if you'd have seen my New Year's last year, you'd understand why I needed to do it low key this year.
Yeah. Well, so you went off the grid basically.
Basically. Yeah.
Just hung out in the hot tub with the Airbnb.
Yep.
Hanging out.
We did a puzzle. There were multiple puzzles. I tapped out, but somebody stayed up to like 5 a.m. to finish the dang puzzle. And I'm like, I can't. But that's what we did.
That's some hardcore.
We did puzzles. We had matching pajamas.
Oh, that's terrific.
And we cooked. But it was very wholesome and
that's nice.
So great.
That's great.
How about you?
So since I have kids, I don't really go out and do the New Year's party thing. Haven't done that in quite some time. But we had another family over for New Year's Eve to, you know, bring their kids and get everybody together and like do that kind of deal. And I have a tradition now that I always make some seafood.
Okay.
I love seafood.
Yeah.
It's
one
of my favorite types of food. I'm a big seafood guy. Yeah. So when I lived in Seattle, in Seattle for like a year.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, I got to find some sort of seafood dish that I can make.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I was out there, my office was really close to the fish market that you always see.
Yeah.
And so they always had different sales and stuff. So I was like, all right, I'm going to pick up some clams and learn how to make some clams. That seems like a good place to start.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I learned how to make linguine with clams.
Nice.
And so now I make that every year on New Year's and go back and, you know, use the seafood, seafood cooking experience that I got in Seattle there. And so made linguine with clams. I've added some crab legs to it for the last couple of years too. So do like a big seafood dinner.
Yeah.
For my wife and my friends.
I love that.
We get together and I go all out for it.
That's nice. I like that tradition.
And so we get everybody together, you know, see how long the kids can last.
Yeah.
This year they lasted. My daughter lasted till almost 10 p.m. Almost 10 p.m., which is pretty good.
Okay.
And then the adults did make it past New Year's this year.
Good.
Past
good. 12 this year. Because sometimes, I mean, the older you get, sometimes I bought Red Bull just in case we needed it.
Yeah.
We didn't need it.
See, I'm a night person generally.
Yeah.
So I'm usually up, you know, you know, it's not like a huge stretch for me to make it to midnight.
Fair.
I'm a night person as it is. My wife less so.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, she had to make it there. But we had some friends over. We played some cards. We were cracking jokes about like the Ryan Seacrest broadcast.
Yeah. That was going
on.
Yeah.
You know, just had a good time. Rang in the new year.
Do you ever watch the CNN broadcast?
So I always just end up seeing that in
the clips online.
With Anderson Cooper and who's the other guy?
Andy Cohen.
They like to have a couple shots. And,
a couple. Yeah. I didn't watch it this year. We barely watched the TV, but like I saw all like the viral clips, and like every year there's always like an anti Eric Adams, mayor of New York rant.
Sure.
The clips this year are like, wow, I think this sums up 2024. It was a little bit of a mess, but it was very entertaining.
Entertaining mess.
Yeah.
That I think we're all glad to turn the page on.
Seriously.
In a lot of ways.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you're, let us know out there. How did you spend your New Year's? Let us know in the comments. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. 855-752-4842. Cardi, what'd you do on your New Year's?
Well, for my New Year's, let's recap. See if I can remember. I worked. I was here.
Okay. Fair.
I was here. But for New Year's Eve, I spent time with family. I'm not going to lie. I spent time with family. My kids, we had kids wine or kids champagne for them.
Do you like the sparkling grape juice?
Yeah. Welch's. Yeah. They had a good time with that. My daughter was the only one that wasn't awake for it. But my youngest, who is 4 months, will be 5 months, my birthday on January 16th. Decided to stay up the whole night, so he didn't go to sleep. I didn't go to bed.
He's got a real partier.
We got a Leo edition, so he's he's a little feisty. He stays about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. We were up to with him, so yeah.
Wow.
Well, I'm sure at that age you got a lot of late nights.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we all had a good New Year's and celebrated in our own ways.
Right.
And you know, it's good to have some traditions with that. Good to try some new things as well.
I agree. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So Angela, you published a piece today at the Recombobulation Area.
Sure did.
We're gonna be talking about that a little bit over the course of the show here today. So if you want to check that one out, it is at the recombobulationarea.news, where Angela wrote a piece with the headline, "Where do we go from here?" I think that's going to be kind of one of the themes that we're going to be talking about today as we turn the page. Our first live show for the Maggie Dawn Show of 2025. Yeah. We're looking ahead to what things are going to be in the second Trump term. And so go check that one out. We're going to be talking about that a little bit more as we get into the next hour of the show here. You know, I think the one quote that I pulled out here that you wrote, "We can be frustrated and still see the humanity in each other. we can feel lost on the next steps of organizing and still be committed to showing up. So do check that one out. We're going to be talking about that one. Yeah, good words.
I know, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I wrote that.
Yeah, you did. It was a great piece. So check that one out. It's at the Recombobulation area right now. Would love your thoughts out there in the Maggie Dawn Show listening audience of what you think about that piece and what you're thinking about as we turn the page on the calendar into 2025 and what that's going to mean when Donald Trump is president once again. It's not that far off.
Nope. It's only just in a few weeks.
It's a couple weeks. Yeah. Things move fast.
What is time?
What is time?
That's also a thing. That's like, true. I don't know what time is either.
Yeah. That's part of the holidays, too, because you get lost in not just, not just like, oh, we're planning for Christmas, planning for New Year's. You just get lost in this, like.
I have no idea what day it is. I just knew I needed to be here, but I was like, what day is it? Oh, okay, it's Thursday.
And then we got the midweek holidays this year, and that's, I think, throwing everybody off a little bit. You know, you have Christmas and New Year's on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's messing with people because you got to come back for Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
And then it's a short week, and then you're back on the weekend. And it's a weird time.
Yeah.
It's a weird time.
That's why we just take off. I don't go back to work until the 13th.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you're hanging out here. So,
I am.
So you're still kind
of
working.
No, but I choose to do this. That's the thing. It doesn't feel like work. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, we're going to be talking about that piece from Angela. I wanted to talk to you first. We only got a couple minutes before the break. So I'll set this one up before the break here, and then maybe we can come back and talk mm-hmm. about it a little bit more. But some of the political news today, Senator Chuck Schumer has endorsed Ben Wickler to be the DNC chair. So not surprised that Wickler running out of the gate, but he always is very smart about timing announcements.
Yeah.
And to get people right back from New Year's.
He knows.
He got that announcement in Politico with the Chuck Schumer endorsement right off the bat. Here.
Skilled organizer,
skilled communicator.
Yes.
We've both, interacted with Ben a whole lot over the last few years as he's been the party chair in Wisconsin. So I guess my question about this, though, and we'll get into a little bit more after the break. Is this a good thing? Is it a good thing to have the endorsement of of Chuck Schumer? Who all things about him as an individual aside, but just like having the endorsement of somebody who is part of the Democratic establishment.
And
it's
what
not
he
about
represents,
whether it is Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi or whoever it might be. About having an endorsement at this moment for the Democratic Party from somebody who is part of the Democratic establishment and has been part of, I don't know, some losses
some
over
things.
The years.
Yeah.
And so we'll get a little bit further into that. But in the statement to Politico, Schumer called Wickler a tenacious organizer and proven fundraiser. Politico reported that Schumer is currently the highest ranking Democrat to weigh in on the race. It's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. But obviously a well-timed endorsement.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, Ben Wickler, smart way of getting himself into the news cycle as people, return to the office, get back into things. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am your guest host today. I am here with Angela Lang. She is my guest co-host today. And we will be right back after the break. Stick with us. Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am not Maggie Dawn. I am Dan Schaefer. I am your guest host on the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. With me here in studio, live from Racine, Wisconsin, is Angela Lang, the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. She is here as my guest host for the full show today, Angela.
Yeah.
How about that?
It'll be a good time. A
lot of recombobulating.
Yes.
We're doing. Angela is a regular contributor at the Recombobulation Era, award-winning contributor from the Recombobulation Era. She won a Milwaukee Press Club Award for her work here. So do check out when she writes. You always got to read when Angela writes. for the recombobulation.
I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to have a platform, and I'm grateful that people read whatever comes out of my head sometimes.
Well, you wrote a great piece today, and yeah. What came out of your head today is a good one.
It works somehow.
It works. It comes together. We recombobulate.
Yes.
That's right. So check out that piece right now at the Recombobulation Area. The headline is, "Where do we go from here?" I think that's a question a lot of us are asking as we turn the calendar to 2025, as we get ready for a second Trump term, as we get ready for a whole lot of things that 2025 has for us. That's kind of the
deep sigh.
It's just the vibe that I have right now as we recombobulate into 2025, too. It's just a lot of, all right. Here we go.
Yeah.
Got to get after it.
Who knows?
Before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the political news of the day about Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler had a big endorsement today. Senate Majority Leader, I think he's only Senate Majority Leader for like another few days, but Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is supporting Ben Wickler in his effort to lead the party on a national stage. My question about that at the moment is this a good thing? If you're Ben Wickler and you're running for DNC chair, do you want the support of some of the more establishment voices? Now, I'm not saying anything that, like, you know, if making value judgments on Chuck Schumer as an individual,
sure,
about like where he is standing on. Obviously, he's a prominent member of the party. Getting endorsement of the prominent member of the party is a big deal. But if you're Ben Wickler, do you want more of an outsider appeal at this point?
Yeah, you know, I'm very curious to see what other endorsements Ben has up his sleeve. I know that this won't be the last, right? And you know, really just sitting on this question, like, is this a good thing? I think it's interesting to, like, who he's, like, speaking to and who he's campaigning to, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, there are probably some of my lefty friends that won't like that, given, you know, some of their qualms and criticisms of Schumer, right? But the lefty folks are not going to be voting in the next DNC chair.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so
people who are always, you know, critical of the Democratic Party, they're not the people voting on this.
Exactly.
Right?
And, you know, the people that are going to be voting and you know, talking about this like insider baseball are the more establishment types. Mm-hmm. And so I think from a strategy sense, and I think Ben would agree, and I think this is partly what he's doing is, yes, you want to have some of those like big players in the establishment because like that's the realm and the environment that you're operating in. But I'd be curious to see how Ben balances that with his more progressive, I think, stances too, right? And I think I can't help but to think of the campaign, right? When I'm not saying that Chuck Schumer is Liz Cheney. I'm not saying that at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, is there going to be a counter? Is there going to be a balance? Is it going to have, you know, a progressive person? What happens if, like, say Maurice Mitchell, for example, from the National Working Families Party also endorses, right? Like, mm-hmm. What does that mean? And so I think that Ben will probably have something else to quote unquote balance it out a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think it's strategic for what he's trying to do given the arena that he's playing in right now.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I think, you know, there was some signaling early on in this from some of the members of the Progressive Caucus saying that mm-hmm. they were interested in somebody like Ben Wickler,
yeah.
I think was the statement from Representative Jayapal,
yep.
Who's head of the Progressive Caucus. So I think that wanting to have, and I think that's what the message that I think Wickler is putting out there in the piece that I wrote about a month or two ago now about how Wickler could be this quote unquote Goldilocks candidate.
Yep. Yep.
And that was a quote from one of the sources that I was talking to in Wisconsin on that story. And they were telling me that, you know, Wickler is liked by both progressives and centrists.
Yeah.
He's liked by both the grassroots organizers and the big dollar donors. Like, he can be a lot of things to a lot of people. But I do wonder if you want to be out there front and center with an establishment name like this.
Especially right now.
Especially right now, and especially considering who, I guess, his opponent would be in this race. Ken Martin is the, you know, the Minnesota Dem chair. He's been kind of more like, He's a member of the DNC. He's been planning this for a while. He's done some great things in Minnesota as well. They've had some real success there. But I think he has been kind of seen as the more establishment candidate.
Sure.
And Wickler has been seen as the more of just like the change maker, somebody who has brought a different approach to Wisconsin. You know, he gave a great interview on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart talking about how he wanted to do things differently and how he has done things differently in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So I just wonder if that is, you know, and I think Chuck Schumer's strategy, you know, the famous quote, I'm trying to pull it up here. I'm not finding it out. Google's worse now, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So the strategy, and I'm going to botch the quote, but it's just like every vote we lose in, you know, a rural district, we're going to pick up two votes in a suburban district. I think that strategy has been kind of damaging for Democrats over the past 8 years. And just look at what's happened with, you know, Donald Trump winning again. And the Republicans taking the House 2 years ago and taking the Senate now. And and I think you're looking at this like 8 year run for when Trump, you know, became the dominant political figure in the country. And the Democrats pushing back on that. Schumer has been part of that every step of the way.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you necessarily want somebody like that or if you want to turn the page. And I think that's what a lot of people, you know, are recognizing, that in Democratic circles, they have a difficult time turning the page in a lot of ways. And I think that has led to a lot of real problems. Most notably, you know, losing this last election.
I mean, I think Ben, and I think it's easier for me to say those things because I'm like, I've worked with him, I've seen him, I know his values. But I think that, you know, from outside looking in, if you're not in the weeds and you don't know him, there could be a lot of assumptions that are made from that endorsement, I think.
Yeah. Either way, he's back in the news.
Yep.
Ben's back in the news. He knows how to get himself back in the news. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your guest host this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm here with my guest co-host, Angela Lang. We're going to be with you for the rest of the afternoon here on The Maggie Dawn Show. Give us a call. Shoot us a text, 855-752-4842. We're going to be headed to a break right now, but stick with us. We'll be right back. Couldn't afford a car, so she named her daughter Alexis. Yeah, hair so long that it looked like weave. Then she cut it all off, now she looked like Eve. And she be dealing with some issues that you can't believe. Single black female addicted to retail as well.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back to The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your guest host this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm the founder of the Recombobulation Area and the political editor here at Civic Media. Thank you all so much for joining us this afternoon. I'm joined in studio today by a co-host, Angela Lang, Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. And Angela just wrote a terrific piece for us at the Recombobulation Area, where she has been a regular contributor for quite some time. The question she asks in the headline of this piece, and I think it's a question that a lot of us are asking as we turn the page from 2024 to 2025. The headline, where do we go from here? Yeah. So, Angela, give us all of the answers.
All of the answers.
All of the answers. Where do we go from here as we are in this like liminal space between the election and the inauguration, as we begin to turn the page and the end of the Biden presidency and the start of the Trump 2.0 years? So where do we go from here?
To be clear, I don't know. And I think what's funny too is when I'm writing, I don't always have a title in mind. I never have a title in mind, to be honest. And it's always like the last thing I do. I'll write whatever, and then I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And I usually just
leave.
And then
we text back and forth about a headline.
I do a placeholder, and then I was like, Dan will help me work through this because all my creativity is dumped in in this piece.
Yeah.
And it was, where do we go? I just left that, and that was like the first thing that came to mind. But I think, you know, a lot of us, I think, are still processing and trying to figure out, like, where do we go from here? And how this moment feels very different from 2016 in a lot of ways.
It definitely does. I think so many people in 2016 were so surprised.
Yeah.
And so jolted by the results of the election and by Donald Trump's victory and just could not process the reality of it. And so people were just, you know, sewing the hats and getting into the streets and like doing all the things and being very vocal and writing a lot of very emotional Facebook posts and whatever it might be.
Yeah,
but now it's a little bit different. I feel like people are maybe more turning inward now compared to 8 years ago, maybe doing some more, you know, just things that taking care of their family and their friends and being with people and tuning out maybe a little bit, not from civic media. Of course not. Never from us.
Never.
Never from the recombobulation area.
Never.
But I think people are more turning a little bit inward than 8 years ago. And I think you captured that a little bit in the piece, too.
Yeah. I mean, I that's my assessment, too. And it's like also me and how I've been responding to this moment. You know, and I've said this for a while of like being a Black woman that does political work in a swing state is like not always a good time, shocker. And it's not always fun, and it's like very emotionally draining, and it feels, you know, the reporters, you know, when they're in town covering stuff, they're like, oh, do you feel the weight on your shoulders? And they say it joking, and I'm like, yeah, I do. It's not fun.
Like, yeah, thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, right. And I'm like,
the weight on my shoulders.
Yeah. Thanks. And I joke around about it, but it's like real, you know, at the same time. And so I think for me, and I talked about this a little bit, I danced very close to burnout so many times where I was like, I don't know if I could do this. Like, I feel like I'm hitting my head against a wall and like nothing's changing, nothing's happening except like I am running myself into the ground, right? But we're still seeing the environments, and it didn't feel that material conditions were changing. And I think a lot of my organizer friends across the country are like, I'm focused on living my life too. Mm-hmm. Like, how do we find joy in the midst of impending fascism? How are we taking care of our folks and protecting folks? So I think there was a lot of reflection turning inward of how can people also use their own allyship and their own privilege to show up for communities that may be targeted. And I think that's what we need. And conversely, there's a lot of feelings and there's a lot of emotions and there's a lot of frustration. And I get that as someone who tries not to let it show, but I got a lot of anger sometimes, right? Like, but we can't show up in ways of saying, well, I told you so. Or I've seen, oddly enough, on TikTok, I've seen trans folks that say that they proudly supported Trump. So do they no longer need protecting when Trump comes for them, right? And that just because you vote for someone, just because you voted for Trump, that doesn't make you any less marginalized. It doesn't make you any, you know, more safe from some of these attacks. And we can't filter through some of our own community members. Like, there's people, I'm sure, we all have cousins, family members. We all know somebody that maybe was misinformed, or we all know civics is not a thing. So people's like anger and frustration at whatever was happening in their day-to-day life was maybe taken out in an election that didn't really, you know, relate. How do we can't shame people for their lack of knowledge, understanding the rise in AI, the rise in mis and disinformation, how there's not really civics taught. So when people are frustrated at the government, they get mad at whoever they can see first. And sometimes that's the president when it's really your alderman. And so I think all of these things together kind of led to a perfect storm. And it is difficult. And I say this not trying to be some kumbaya, let's all just come together and hug it out. I'm not saying that in any way. Mm-hmm. But how do we protect folks in our community that are generally on our side, but maybe didn't show up the way we wanted them to?
Yeah. And I think that that's a point you spoke to in this piece, and I think is a really important one, where I've seen some of these posts out there. You know, about certain things, about, you know, whether it's like, oh, the tariffs are going to make prices go up, or there's going to be something about deportation, or there's going to be this, that, and the other. And it's just like, well, you get what you vote for, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that's the approach to take now or ever, really. And I really, you know, people are very emotional about the election.
Yeah, it's tempting.
And it is very tempting like get into that. But for me, it always goes back to I think more of the blame should go on the institution instead of the individual.
Absolutely.
And I think that is where I often try to return to with these types of questions. And you wrote it really well in the piece. And I'm just going to quote you directly to you sitting across from you here in the studio. So you wrote, to be clear, I'm not saying our organizing and resistance is primarily focused on recruiting Republicans to our causes. It didn't work in the campaign and won't work now. But all the same, we can't say I won't help you because that's what you get for voting for him. I'm not saying it will be easy or that everyone is ready to do that. But if we actually want to build a multiracial democracy that works for everyone, that includes educating people in the true villains of the story, Trump, his allies, and the wealthy, not each other.
Yes.
That is such a good point. And I think that is, you know, as we turn this page on 2024, mm-hmm. look ahead to 2025, I think if people are going to take the approach of doing that, you get what you vote for,
yeah.
or blaming somebody or saying, I'm not going to help you because you were a Trump voter, that is a problem.
Yeah. And we risk losing those folks forever. And I think, you know, and I've talked to Ben about this, Ben Winkler, is that when Democrats lose, you have to find more ways to bring people in, right? Because your numbers are dwindling. You don't have the numbers to win. So that means you need to find more people to persuade to align with you, or maybe they are naturally aligned with you, right? And so if we are going to continue this, well, you get what you vote for, you are no longer welcome here, you're not actually adding more people to your strategy to try and actually win in the future. And we've said this before, is like, you can't be condescending to voters. You know, there's so much going on and flying at the same time. And as you said, we can put all of that on kind of like a broader concept of voter suppression and how that is impacted and that's received. And being able to take some time to be patient with folks, because like there are folks that were like, well, I felt like my life was better because I had those stimulus checks, or I had, you know, mm-hmm. the pandemic checks. And then when you tell them Trump didn't want those, he only wanted them later so he can put his name on them. It also was an act of Congress and he didn't want it at first. People don't know these things. You're working right. multiple jobs. You're picking up kids. You're taking care of your elderly parents or grandparents. You don't know some of those things that are in the weed, and they're doing the best that you can. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about that population of folks. I'm not talking about the people that like willfully know and are just choosing to not believe facts. That's a different group of people. And I think they should be treated in a different way, but that doesn't mean we don't have these conversations of how do we build a multiracial democracy with all of these perspectives. Because at the end of the day, there is some sort of values that we all align with, mm-hmm. whether that's family, being a Wisconsinite, what that means, whatever. And I think we need to do the very hard work of figuring out what that center of that Venn diagram is. And it's going to be very difficult.
Mm-hmm. And I think if Democrats are and should be wanting to be the big tent party to bring yeah. in a lot of different voices, you can't make decisions and shame people and make that tent smaller.
Right.
Right. You can't kick people out of the tent just because they did something a certain way. And I think when you're talking about, you know, people who are not in the weeds in politics yeah. and this kind of stuff, who are not living the day to day, who are not hosting civic media,
talking about it for 2 hours,
whatever
yeah.
it is, right? what those of us in the political science dork community will call the low propensity voters,
yeah.
people who don't necessarily vote in every election, vote mm-hmm. for their common council rep or
their
vote
high
for
opportunity.
State assembly. High opportunity. Yeah, that's another way to put it. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, Trump made a lot of overtures
yeah.
to that particular community. And I think there are a number of, you know, news stories that broke through, whether it was the debate against Biden
yeah.
or I think, you know, the assassination attempt, too. If you're only paying attention to politics very occasionally,
yeah.
you still definitely saw that.
Like a normal person.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a normal person. Not lunatics like
not
us.
Like us.
Yeah, exactly. and so I think that, you know, that I think is what Republicans were really trying, and Trump specifically, not I think. Old school Republicans really didn't really do that kind of work.
Right.
But I think Trump specifically is reaching out to those low propensity voters, trying
yeah.
to make the Republican Party a bigger tent. You know, they never actually govern like that.
No,
you know,
not at all.
So
they make it clear. We just want your vote. I don't
yes.
want anything else. I think
yes.
Donald Trump actually said that at some point. I just want your vote.
It sounds like something he would say.
I think he said it on a speech, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that is an important part of all of this and,
yeah.
and recognizing, you know, the keeping people in the big tent and welcoming people in. And you're not going to be welcoming people in to build a multiracial democracy that works for everyone,
yeah.
like you said in the piece, if you're saying, I'm not going to help you because you voted for somebody else.
Yeah, no.
And I think, you know, whether it's the type of policies that are, I don't know, universal health care
yeah.
or increasing education funding or bringing things like in Minnesota, what Tim Walz did with the universal school lunches. Yep. We shouldn't have those types of policies of like only if you voted for Biden, only right. if you voted for Harris.
Yeah.
You know, it should be a universal type of thing. And I think that is so many of the policies of the Democratic Party that they should be type advancing
yes.
that, you know, we can do better for everyone
mm-hmm.
and not pick and choose and not cater to wealthy elites like the Republican Party does.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is that like we weren't born with the level of analysis that we have today. Mm-hmm. Right. Like no one ever was born like out the womb. These are my values and analysis. We've grown. We've seen things. We've been involved to have this particular analysis. And my job as an organizer is to get other people to do that. There's a lot of education in my job as an organizer to bring people along. And we always talk about you got to meet people where they're at and then you bring them along. Well, what if where people are at is that they made a mistake and voted for Trump because they were ill-informed?
Mm-hmm.
Then like all these things that we talk about in the off election season, like meeting people where they're at, sometimes where they're at is actually very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to do that, that's what we actually need to do. And I think it's interesting how people are talking about folks like on the general same side, whether it's left, Dem, whatever, right? Anyone generally on that side kind of trying to do this thing where eating our own, like you're not good enough to be a part of whatever is next or this or that, when that's literally what they want us to do. That's literally what white supremacy and fascism does, is like while they're over here controlling and making our lives difficult, instead of us coming together, we're all on a sinking ship. And it's sinking. There's a hole. Mm-hmm. And instead of plugging the hole, we're blaming other people instead of actually trying to get out of the situation. And meanwhile, white supremacy and fascism is thriving.
Yeah. It's divide and conquer. Like
exactly.
You said. It's divide and conquer. It's not looking to solve any problems, address any of the
classic
major
playbook.
It is divide and conquer. Absolutely. We're here with Angela Lang here, guest hosting the Maggie Dawn Show. The piece that we are talking about is one that Angela wrote and we published today at the Recombobulation Area. The headline is "Where Do We Go From Here?" And so we're going to continue talking about this after the break here. But I would encourage you all to go check it out. Take a look at the piece, "Where Do We Go From Here?" written by Angela Lang. She is the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. She is also the co-host of this very program
Hi.
This afternoon here on the Maggie Dawn Show. So stick with us. We're going to be continuing to talk about that piece. If you have thoughts on it, if you have thoughts on where we go from here,
love to
more
hear
generally,
it.
We'd yeah. love to hear it. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And we will be right back. Stick with us here on the Civic Media Network.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try, just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. Building them castles in the sky.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Maggie Dawn Show. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm your guest host this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm here with Angela Lang. She is my co-host for this afternoon. We're talking about a piece that she just wrote at the Recombobulation Area with the headline, "Where Do We Go From Here?" So we're interested to know where you think we're going from here as well. Join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. And Cardi, you said we had somebody ready to join us on the line here.
Yes, we do. 1 second. Caller on the line.
All right, Dick from Madison, you're on the air.
Hey, it was also a great song by Chicago, "Where Do We Go From Here?"
Yeah.
A real good one. I think this is personally where I think it's going after seeing what happened with the budget thing. They're overplaying their hand. I'm talking about the felon. I don't refer to him any other way than felon 47. Anyway, and the midterms are only 22 months away, correct? And they've got such a narrow margin. I just read an interesting article, and here's why I think they're going to have to be really careful how they play this stuff, is a lot of these red districts, these really good things that are happening as a part of what Biden and Harris did, these Republicans in those districts don't want to just hack this all apart because it's creating all kinds of jobs in their districts. And they're going to be facing the voters in 22 short months, not 24. And, you know, I just can't help but think they just think they're going to slide in here, and proof of it was last week. I know it's going to be chaotic. It's not going to be pretty. But I think if we hang on until the midterms, we can make him into the ultimate lame duck in 2 years.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call. That's a great point. I mean, yeah. I do think it is interesting if you look at the national level, what's happening in Congress. It's a slim margin. Like, as much as it was a red wave year, it's a slim margin for Republicans in Congress. And you know, I think Todd was talking about this in the show before, earlier this afternoon on the Alba show, was talking about the vote for Speaker, for Mike Johnson remaining as Speaker. And I think he'll win that vote. But I do wonder, just because of the margins. And I think, you know, there was that story, I'm blanking on the name, but there was a Republican congresswoman from Texas who has not been there for votes for like 6 months because she was in like dementia, a memory care facility. And I think because Matt Gaetz resigned, because Trump is appointing a couple members of Congress to his cabinet, like, those margins are really
there's
slim
some shake-ups,
right
now.
And so I think it's going to be really important for Democrats to be that. I don't want to use the word resistance. We're going to retire that one, from the last term. But to just be, you know, vocal against what Trump's agenda is going to be and hold firm against that in a lot of ways. Cardi, do we have another caller joining us to try to answer this question? Where do we go from here?
Let's go. Caller on the air.
Yeah. Hey, this is Tom from Los Angeles.
Hey, Tom.
Thanks for joining us, Tom.
Hi, guys. You bet. And I enjoy the recombobulation emails and everything like that. So thank
you
guys.
And thanks for recombobulating. Thanks for subscribing.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. As you guys know, my biggest issue is money, getting money out of politics.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not going to happen right now, but I don't think it's a reason why we stop talking about it at all. And I think we have to talk about it every day because everything that goes on goes back to this, whether it whatever issue it is. You know, all these politicians have, the Supreme Court has made, political bribery legal. And it's something we just need to talk about every day. I think also what we need to do is just look back, 100 years ago, I guess, because I guess every 100 years, just different characters that, you know, where is our FDR? That's going to be the question. Mm-hmm. But I think after what happened yesterday, what I see is going to happen is we're going to see more vigilante terrorism. I see that the Republicans are going to want to privatize everything, such as the FBI. They've already done that kind of with SpaceX or Space Force versus, NASA. I think we're going to see more of that. But I do think what's interesting, my dad was a history teacher and a football coach in Durand, Wisconsin.
So it was not Tim Walz, not the football coach, history teacher.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. But he was the head of the Wisconsin High School Football Coaches Association. So that was pretty cool. But anyway, we come from a football family. But my dad always said to me that years ago in America that, you know, there has to be a balance between the rich, the middle class, and the poor, and the working poor. And when that stops happening, there will be a revolt from the bottom up and the middle out. And it's very interesting because I think of what is happening right now with what, again, I'd call vigilante terrorism. I think that's what we're seeing more and more of with the United Healthcare guy, with what, potentially happened yesterday. Not saying that there people know, as an example, they don't understand the whole thing maybe of Buckley versus Vallejo or First National Bank versus Bilotti or Citizens United, but they do know that something just isn't right. Yeah. And because of that, I guess just people will start you know, taking not even just to the streets, because I don't even think the streets really matter as much, because all you have to do, like in the Wisconsin uprising, which is great.
Tom, we're coming up against the break here. I apologize for cutting you off, but always appreciate you calling into these shows and joining us here on the Civic Media Network. A lot of important points. And I think, you know, Angela wrote about this in a little bit in her piece, too, the class consciousness and awareness and how that's been growing over the years. So do check that one out as well at the Recombobulation Area. When we come back from the break to start the second hour of the show, we're going to be joined by Jeff Mandel of Law Forward. He recently wrote a piece as well at the Recombobulation Area, talking about the implications of the recent Act 10 decision. Want that ruling?
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.